Amen. 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 Hey, we're looking at the topic today, be encouraged, there's good news. We've been going through a series this year called Running the Race. Presently, we're in a section of that series where we're looking at the life of Joseph. We'll pick up that again in a couple of weeks. But today, we want to see, be encouraged, there's good news. I don't know where you are in your walk right now, if you need to hear some good news today, especially as we think about what has been going on in our world over the past year and the past weeks and past days, maybe in your life, the past moments. But nevertheless, we can understand that there's a word for us today to be encouraged. There is good news. As we've walked through COVID, COVID has caused all kinds of troubles. The disruptions to life, discouragement to the soul, and distress with the school and distress in our workplaces. But there is good news today about COVID, that some in some areas the cases are coming down, and in some states are starting to open back up again. These are definitely good news. But the great news, there is even better news. And there's a better news, and that is that Jesus lives. Amen? Be encouraged today because of the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. And so let's see what has changed as we look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. See what took place there at the empty tomb and how that applies to us even today, that we can be encouraged because there's good news. So if you're able, in honor and reverence to the Word of God, if you'd please stand as I read for us Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you'll see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let's pray together. Father, how grateful we are for this word this morning. It is a word that resonates within each of us who know you as Lord and Savior, that our Savior lives. And that no matter what we may be facing in this life, that there is good news and we can be encouraged. So, Father, help us to hear that good news and how we can be encouraged today. And may you help us to walk away from here with Jesus at the center of our heart, with Jesus as the passion of our heart, and Jesus is the centerpiece of our life, and Jesus as the word upon our lips as we tell people about you. Lord, I pray for those who may not know you as Lord and Savior, may this be that hour of salvation. For those of us who do, may it be a time of renewal and refreshing and recommitment for you and you alone. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You guys look awesome. It's so good to see all of you here today. And as we think about this, be encouraged, there's good news. There's 3 points. If you're able to pick up one of those little bulletin notes as you came in, or if you're able to download it. See, the first thing here is that there are 3 points, and then there are 3 to-dos at the end. But number one, the thing that we need to understand, you can be encouraged, there's good news because he lives, and forgiveness has come. Forgiveness has come. Y'all with me this morning? I mean, that's good news, isn't it? Forgiveness has come. Verse 1 says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went to see the tomb." Now as the women went to see the tomb, as the disciples woke up that first Lord's day, they were not feeling encouraged. As they get up that first Sunday morning after the crucifixion, the women were coming to the tomb to bring spices and anoint the body of Jesus that they knew had died. The disciples are not at the tomb that morning. They are feeling discouraged. They're feeling defeated. And why is that? It's because Jesus had died. And in verse 5, even the angel here says, recognizes that fact, as it tells us there in verse 5, that not to be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. And so these people had seen the Lord Jesus mistreated and mocked, spit upon and slapped, flogged and forsaken, treated cruelly and then crucified. The one that they had invested their lives in, put their hopes in, had died in a cruel way on a cross. But what they didn't know this Easter morning was that that Sunday morning would not be like any other Sunday morning. That this Easter Sunday morning would change the course of history. That this Easter Sunday morning, this good news was about to break out and Jesus was risen from the dead. Y'all with me this morning, I'm telling you. And with that resurrection, friends, it proves the good news that the cross upon which Jesus died has eternal significance, that forgiveness has come. You see, friends, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered into the world and the world was broken. And so now we are sinners with the penalty of death upon us. We're separated from holy God because of our sin. Because of our sin, we need to be reconciled to our Creator. Because of our sin, we need forgiveness because we are sinners. We ourselves could never pay the debt that we owe for our sin. But God, who is rich in mercy and is gracious to us, loved us enough to send His Son Jesus to take the penalty that we owed upon Himself. In Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross." Now, I don't know about you guys this morning, but it talks about canceling the record of debt. And I feel pretty good this morning that the record of debt against the bank has been paid for. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But even more so, I am grateful for that debt that's been paid for me upon the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Amen? That far surpasses the debt of this world. Our access, as you think about this, our access to our Heavenly Father was blocked due to sin. And the whole world since the Garden of Eden has been affected. But there is good news. And the good news is this, that because of the price that Jesus paid, forgiveness has come. And we are made right before holy God. We've been reconciled to Him. And we now have access into the presence of God. Now, let me try to illustrate that some way. Maybe you've seen this news snippet, but let me show you a picture here real quick. You've probably seen this picture on the news recently. Y'all recognize that? Yeah. Well, recently you probably heard of this ship. The ship is the name Ever Given that was stuck in the Suez Canal. Well, if you don't know what the Suez Canal, it's a major shipping lane between Asia and Africa where ships go from the North Atlantic to the North Indian Ocean. And the Suez Canal is like a shortcut. And this shortcut just keeps commerce going. But this ship that you just saw is the Ever Given, made a wrong turn. And it blocked the free access from one side to the other. And that ship couldn't do anything on its own to fix the problem. And because of the problem, the whole world was affected. But now the good news is that this week, the owners, the authorities of that ship sent those who could free the boat. And now the access is open again. Man, that is good news, isn't it? I think I read somewhere that the ship was loaded down with coffee and toilet paper. So we rejoice that there's free access. Amen? And as our access to our Heavenly Father, now think about it. Now, to take that as an illustration, as our access to our Heavenly Father once was blocked because of sin, our owner, our Creator, the authority, God, sent His Son and did what we couldn't do for ourselves, and He set us free. And so now we have forgiveness and we have free access to Holy God through the cross, not a tugboat. Amen? And so as we think about good news, it isn't about a boat named Ever Given, but it's about the Son of God whose name is Jesus, who died for us, and we've been forgiven. Amen? That's the good news today. So be encouraged. There's good news. Forgiveness has come. And secondly, fear is gone. So forgiveness has come, but now fear is gone. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. It tells us here, but the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. For I know you that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. So as the women come to the tomb, they were frightened when they saw the angel. You would be too. And then as they left the tomb, there was a sense of fear and great joy, the Bible tells us in verse 8. And but they're told by the angel and then Jesus himself later, do not be afraid. You see, friends, here's the thing. There is no need to fear because Jesus lives. Amen. Jesus lives. It is the reason. Now listen, Jesus lives. It is the reason to stop fearing and to start rejoicing. Come on now. The reason to stop fearing, start rejoicing is Jesus lives. So be encouraged. There's good news. He lives and fear is gone. There's a couple kinds of fears that's gone. Here's the first one. The fear of death is gone. So because Jesus lives, then what he said is true, that he is the resurrection and the life. So in John chapter 11, Jesus said, verse 25 and 26, Jesus said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And so his resurrection, then listen now, his resurrection guarantees ours. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. You see, because he lives, so shall we. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we are no longer enslaved to the fear of death. Fear enslaves us, but the resurrection has freed us. There's no longer any fear in dying because death has now been defeated at the cross and at the empty tomb. There's no sting in death for the believer in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57 says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written that death is swallowed up in victory. Don't you love that? Death is swallowed up in victory. There's no more defeat in death for the believer. It is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is gone. Now, if you know, think about a stinger, if you're out chasing a bee, or rather a bee is chasing you, and you find out and know that that bee doesn't have a stinger any longer, then you're no longer afraid of that bee, amen? Well, I'm here to tell you the good news that Jesus took the stinger out of death, amen? He took the stinger out of death at his resurrection. And so now we know, as believers in Jesus, we know when we close our eyes in death, we open them in glory. The resurrection changes how we die. We die with assurance of entering heaven and being with Jesus. And so the fear of death is gone and our future is secure. Amen? Fear is gone. But now understand this. Being a disciple of Jesus is more than not being afraid to die. It also means not being afraid to live. Come on now. That's what it means. not being afraid to live. So there's good news that the fear of death is gone, but the fear of living is gone as well. You see, the resurrection changes how we live. We die with assurance, but we live with hope. So far too many disciples live in fear. Now, they'll tell you, I'm not afraid to die, but they're afraid to live. There's fear of disappointment. There's fear of failure. There's fear of backlash. There's fear of reprisal. There's fear of being persecuted. There's fear of what others may think. It's fear of what others may say. But beloved, listen, because of the resurrection, here's good news. The fear of living is gone. When we believe by faith that Jesus died for us and rose again, trusting him as Lord of our lives, we need not fear. Why? Because we belong to him forever. And the fear of living is gone. We now live in hope. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. He says, we are afflicted, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. And so the question, friends, for those of us who are disciples is, okay, what do I need to fear? What is there to fear? Why? I am his child. I am his follower. I am his disciple. I am his servant. Now, when you think about the disciples early on, right after the arrest and the crucifixion, you think about the disciples then, they had fear in living. But then something happened to those old disciples. We find them, they were up, locked in a room and for fear of the Jews. And then we see later in the scripture that at the resurrection of Jesus and then Pentecost, those same disciples are now out in the open square with the power to preach the good news of Jesus. No matter what opposition they faced, and they faced them, no matter what they dealt with, and they dealt with it, they still went and preached in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was no fear in living. And you think about Paul. He had a prestigious position with great power among the religious elite of that day. And yet the Lord Jesus stopped him in his tracks and changed his life. And Paul realized that the crucified Jesus is the resurrected Lord. And so he then, from that point on, he lived in the power of the resurrection. And so as disciples, friends, listen, here's good news. We live in the same power. And we know that the Lord is with us and is our salvation and he is our strength. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Be encouraged. There's good news. He lives and fear is gone. Fear in death and fear in living. You know, y'all know me. You know that I like coffee. And you know that I like to go to coffee shops as well. And there's a sign in one of the coffee shops that I like to go to that says this, life begins with coffee. Now, I just need to tell you, that's a lie. Okay? Because life begins with Jesus. Coffee is just a bonus. All right? Life is found, real living is found in Jesus Christ. The fear of living is gone. Be encouraged. There's good news. He lives. The resurrection changes everything. Forgiveness has come. Fear is gone. Here's the third point. Fellowship is sweet. Fellowship is sweet. Now let's look at verses 8 to verse 10 again. Verse 8, so they departed, the women departed quickly from the tomb. With fear and great joy, they ran to tell the disciples, and behold, watch this, behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up, they took hold of his feet, they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Man, I love that. I mean, they had come to that garden tomb early that morning, distressed and defeated. And now they have heard the news, and now they see Jesus face to face. They're able to see him and to worship him. They hear his voice. They recognize his presence, and they know his power is so real. Oh, how wonderful we think it would have been to have been with those ladies that morning, to have heard and seen and touched Jesus. to know of his power, to know of his presence, to hear his voice. Well, beloved, I've got some good news. Because of the resurrection, we know this today, that we have access to his presence, that we have audience with him in prayer, and we have assurance of his power. Now, what sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus, as he is, we all have that, as he is with us always. We have been made righteous before holy God by Jesus. We are in his presence. So now we have access into his presence all the time. There's no holy veil that I need to go through to get to Jesus, and I don't need to the Father. I don't need to get permission to get to him at all, because that permission has already been given to me when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and he died for me there and he rose again bodily from the grave. I now have access to God through Jesus Christ. So we can, and we can talk to him at any point in the day. You see, friends, I don't need to walk around my office trying to find a signal to talk to the Lord. Amen. I don't need to worry about waking him up in the middle of the night, and I don't need about worried about waking him up early in the morning, because I can talk to him anytime, anywhere, anyhow, and enjoy him and know that the fellowship is sweet. Amen? The fellowship is sweet with the one who loves us, who died for us, who rose again. And as I walk with him and talk with him, you know this, he gives us strength and he gives us security every moment of every day. Beloved, you know there's real peace and there's security in his presence, even in the dark moments of life. There's real peace and security in his presence. I was reading a story this week of an old Scottish preacher by the name of John, who tells about when he was a boy living out in the country. He tells about how he worked away from home even as a young lad. He worked away from home all week, and he came home on Saturday nights. And along the way to his home, there was a dark piece of woods that he would have to go through to get home. Now, this darkness in the country, now anybody who knows, if you've ever been in the country, you know that darkness in the country is dark, okay? Darkness in the city, well, it's kind of dark, but darkness in the country is really dark. So this young man, John, was walking home, and he would enter that area with its dense darkness and its thick woods, and fear would get a hold of him as he would go through that dark area. Because in that particular area that was so dark, there had been wicked men in the past who had hidden there and robbed and murdered people. He tells about one Saturday night, he was walking in that darkness, and all at once he heard something. Now you all know what I'm talking about, right? If you've ever been in that place and you're a little bit scared and your mind starts playing tricks on you, whatever, and he heard something and he said this, he said, "My heart stood still in terror." Can I get a witness right there? Amen. You know what I'm talking about? And then a voice said, "Is that you, John?" And he recognized the voice. It was his father. He said, "Oh, the joy of it," right? You're walking in this time and it's terrifying, and you hear something rustling, and then you hear a voice, and it's the sound of someone that you know and love. It was his father. And the father slipped up to his side, threw his arm around John, because he knew how his boy felt walking through that dark, and he'd come to meet him. And so John says that the rest of the way, he snuggled up close to his big, strong father, feeling perfectly safe, even in the midst of the darkness. You see, friends, the only thing that could make him feel real comfortable in the dark was a great presence of someone who loved him. Amen. Beloved, I've got some good news, that we have that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us all the time because of the cross and the resurrection. Amen? Amen. There's good news. The fellowship is sweet. Because of the resurrection, the fellowship is sweet with the Lord, but also the fellowship is sweet with each other. Isn't it great to be here today? Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. And so as believers in Jesus Christ, we love each other, we encourage each other, we need each other. In Hebrews 10, 24, 25, it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I am so glad that you all are here today. I know there's still some folks who are still following us online, and we want you to get back here just as soon as you possibly can. I know that some people are uncomfortable being at church yet, but I'm okay with you being uncomfortable. I just don't want you to get too comfortable. Amen? That's the thing. Let's not get too comfortable not being with God's people. So be encouraged. There's good news. Jesus lives. Forgiveness has come, fear is gone, and fellowship with Jesus and each other, well, that fellowship is sweet. All right, there's three to-dos. Number one, be encouraged and receive the good news. Receive the good news. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you receive the good news of Jesus today that he died for you on the cross and rose again bodily from the grave? So would you repent and believe? Now, understand that this receiving the good news is more than just knowing in your mind that there was a Jesus. It's more than knowing in your mind that Jesus died on the cross. It's more than knowing in your mind that Jesus rose from the dead. It is surrender to the absolute authority of him as Lord and Master of your life. And so you repent and believe, acknowledging that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, that we can't do anything to save ourselves. We need him to save us. And so we turn from that sin, turning to Jesus in repentance, knowing that he will forgive us and cleanse us as we embrace and believe that he is the Son of God who died for us on the cross, who rose again bodily from the grave, professing him as the Lord and Savior of our lives. It's a step of faith. You know, friends, we've been talking this year as disciples about, and the Bible talks about running the race as a disciple. Well, in order to run the race, you have to take the first step. And take the first step is to receive the good news. Amen? That's the first to do. If you've never trusted Jesus, today, receive the good news, trusting Jesus by faith, repenting of your sin. Number two, be encouraged. Run in the good news. So run in this good news. So run this race of a disciple. Run it in the good news. Let us run in that good news that Jesus has and that he has risen from the grave, because this good news, it changes everything. So we live this life with hope. We have nothing to fear, and we know that the Lord lives and he is always present. So as we live through this life, beloved, let's run in this good news that Jesus lives and he is our hope and our assurance. So receive the good news, be encouraged, receive the good news, be encouraged, run the race in the good news, and then thirdly, be encouraged, report the good news. Okay, now let me ask y'all a question this morning. If you were to go home today and you were to hear on the TV or the internet or something that the COVID has been cured, or the mask mandate has been eliminated, I mean, what you gonna do, right? You're going to tell somebody, aren't you? You won't be able to get to your phone quick enough to post it on social media, call your friend or call your family and say, "Hey, we do not have to wear those old masks anymore," right? Man, that's good news. We're going to report it to as many people as we can, and that's great. But friends, I'm here to tell you that the world needs to hear better news. They need to hear the best news, and that's that Jesus lives. And that he saves. You see, the disciples, they couldn't help but to speak about the resurrection of Jesus. There's a holy preoccupation with the resurrection of Jesus because it changed them. And it changed everything. And the question is, has it changed you? And if it has changed you, then tell it. Amen? Amen. Tell it. Hey, we're not done yet. We're not done yet, because I'm telling you that there is no other like Jesus. Amen. There is no other like Jesus. He's a better deliverer than Moses. He's a better king than David. He's a better priest than Aaron. He's a better prophet than Jonah. There's no other like Jesus. He's our shepherd and our satisfaction. He's our comfort and our conqueror. He's our helper and our healer. He is our hope and he is holy. I'm telling you, there is no other like Jesus. Come on, can I get a witness? There's no other. There's no other like Jesus. Let me tell you, he's the salve to our hurts. He's the peace in our storms. And he's the lifter of our heads. There's no other like Jesus. He transforms lives. He changes the heart. And he saves to the uttermost. There is no other like Jesus. He's the eternal Son of God. He's the great I Am. He's the Lamb who takes away the sin. And he is the Lion of Judah. Amen. There's no other like Jesus. He was rejected by the religious. He was mocked by the multitudes. He was crucified by the crowds. But there's no other like Jesus, because the nails couldn't hold him, and the cross couldn't end him, and the stone couldn't hold him, and the grave couldn't keep him. I'm telling you, there's none like Jesus. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and he is the Master, and he is the Messiah. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. Receive the good news. Run in the good news. Report the good news. For forgiveness has come. Fear is gone. Fellowship is sweet. There is no other like Jesus. He lives. He lives. He lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth that Jesus, your Son and our Savior, lives. That forgiveness has come. That fear is gone and fellowship is sweet. Thank you for your presence here today. May you encourage us by your sweet presence. Lord, may you work in our hearts to commit ourselves to you afresh and anew. For those who may not know you as Savior, may they give their heart to you to know that there is no other like Jesus. For those of us, Lord, who are going through difficult days, Lord, may we be reminded today there is no other like Jesus. For those who are holding out hope for you to save family and friends, may we be reminded there is no other like Jesus. In our world that is hurting, our world that is crumbling, may we be reminded that there is no other like Jesus. God, may you work in our hearts and help us to receive the good news, to run in the good news, and to report the good news. Jesus lives. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Have your way in our hearts. As we come now to this invitation time, Lord, may you be with us to make those commitments fresh and new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to our invitation, our pastors will be here up front to receive you. If you need to pray, we'll be glad to pray with you. If you need to come and just pray silently, you come as we sing together.